please remain standing with me this evening and turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Excuse me, we'll be starting in verse 23. 1 Corinthians 10, 23, and we'll go through chapter 11, verse 1. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, "All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market without raising any question on the ground of conscience. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If one of the unbelievers invites you to dinner and you are disposed to go, eat whatever is set before you without raising any question on the ground of conscience. But if someone says to you, 'This has been offered in sacrifice,' then do not eat it for the sake of the one who informed you and for the sake of conscience. I do not mean your conscience, but his. For why should my liberty be determined by someone else's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of that for which I give thanks? So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." You may be seated. Please join me in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for this passage of Scripture here in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians that we can study this evening. We pray that your Spirit would make your word clear to us as we study your word. We pray that you would keep us attentive and alert at this hour of the evening. I pray that you would work in spite of my weaknesses in proclaiming your truth, and may you be glorified in the proclamation of your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Over and over in this letter, as we've been going through the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul comes back to this refrain of loving others. We are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. We are to love others with the love of Christ. Here in a church in the first century that was struggling how to show love, Paul has to tell them over and over again what they need to be doing. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. That's the opposite of the world's wisdom, which tells us to look out for rule number one. No one said, Paul says, let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor, to look out for and to serve others. Jesus even told his disciples that the world would recognize Christians by their love for one another. The question is, do we love others? First, within the body of Christ, as Paul is writing this letter to a church that is struggling with loving, he's not admonishing them in this letter at this point to go out into the world and love. But secondly, for us as believers, we do need to show love to a world that needs Christ, that they might see that hope that you and I have and desire what we have found. Paul has been speaking a lot about Christian liberty in this letter, having liberty to live and to act in such a way regarding things that are indifferent, regarding things that are not sinful to do or not sinful not to do. You're not sinning, Paul says, if you eat meat. You're not sinning if you refrain from eating this meat. But are you loving your brother in the process? Or are you causing him to stumble and to fall into sin? Do you care about the one for whom Christ died? How much do we care for one another? We live in a divided world, but we should not live in a divided church. We live in a divided world, but we should not live in a divided church. Now, think about that for just a moment. The greatest division in our culture today is not political. It's not Republican versus Democrats, or red states versus blue states, or even divisions among racial lines, or along economic lines, or even educational lines. We tend to divide over all sorts of things, and some of those things as well. But the biggest division in the world is between those who are Christians and those who are not. Those who embrace God's Word, Scripture, and those who reject it. Those who reject the truth of God's Word will reject what you and I stand for. That is the reality of the world in which we live. And only God's Holy Spirit can fix that divide. Only the power of the gospel can unite that which is divided in that way. So we know there is division. But in the body of Christ, we are to be united as one body. And Paul is going to speak about that one body in chapter 12 as we continue in this letter. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 and 13, he writes, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit." We have a uniting bond in Christ. And that should help us to love and to seek the good of one's neighbor. Now remember, Paul has already spoken to this church about areas of division. Stop following men. Stop following worldly wisdom. Stop taking to one another to court out in the eyes of the world. Why not rather suffer wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? Why not rather suffer loss, Paul says, in order to serve your brother? Do we love one another with the type of love that we would be willing to give to the point of personal loss in order to serve? Or have we bought into the selfishness of the world? Looking out for old number one is easy. Loving self is easy. It comes naturally to us. You heard me mention when I did sermons on the Ten Commandments, it would be really easy to follow the Ten Commandments by oneself, but also impossible. For if we have no interactions with other people, how can we truly love our neighbor as we love ourselves? God made us for relationships. God did not create us to be isolated. That's why He created male and female. That's why He created marriage. That's why God designed family. And also why we have churches. We were meant to be in relationships with others who bear the image of God, and we were meant to live out our faith in community. That's part of what Paul's letter to this church in Corinth is all about. Now, the beginning of this passage tonight should cause us to remember what Paul has already said before when he has written to this church. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Now remember back in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 12 and 13, we heard some similar words. Paul wrote, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for that body." Paul in chapter 6 in that passage was speaking about fleeing from sexual immorality, but he brings up again these same phrases. When it comes to the issue of Christian liberty, there are things that I can do that are not sinful in and of themselves. But am I looking out for my brother in Christ? Do I care how my actions, my liberty, affects him? Drinking alcohol in moderation, according to Scripture, is not sinful. But if I use that liberty in front of my brother who may struggle with alcoholism, I could be sinning against him or causing him to stumble. And that's just an obvious avenue of Christian liberty. The problem in our American culture is we tend to look at our rights over and above how our behavior affects others. We tend to be more American than we are Christian. We do not filter our behaviors, our actions, through the lens of Scripture. We tend to want to fight for our right to do something rather than look for ways that we can serve. Now remember, in 1 Corinthians, we're still in the context of this topic that Paul brings up again here, this meat sacrificed or has been offered to idols. Now we just finished the section previous to this where Paul tells these believers, or 2 weeks ago we looked at this, where Paul tells these believers, do not engage in the pagan sacrifices. Do not enter into these religious ceremonies at the pagan temples in order to eat the meat of their feasts. But now if that meat, Paul says, is brought into the marketplace, that meat in and of itself is not tainted. It's okay for you to eat the meat. But in the context of what Paul has been saying over and over again, we are to look out for the conscience of our brother in Christ. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. That's the overarching theme here, serving one another in the church in love. Now, Paul speaks of this in other places. In his letter to the Philippians, he writes in Philippians 2, verse 4, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Don't just look out for yourself in the church. Look at how your actions affect others within the body of Christ. Now, just a couple of chapters later in 1 Corinthians, Paul speaks about what love is, he writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, that love does not insist on its own way. Love does not insist on its own way. That tells me very plainly that our culture is not all that loving. Most of the time, our culture teaches us to insist on our own way. Take care of yourself first. Look out for you, not serve others first. Turn with me to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. In Romans chapter 14, we find an expanded section of Scripture that speaks of the same idea that Paul is teaching to the Corinthians. Romans chapter 14. And we'll be looking at verses 1 through 23 here. Paul writes, as for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. While the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live to the Lord, and when we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So that each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. I know and I'm persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it unclean. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, you not destroy the one for whom Christ died. So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then, let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Do not, for the sake of food, destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean, but it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. The faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith, for whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. That's a longer passage than our passage in 1 Corinthians, and I appreciate your patience, as that's not our text this evening, but I think it sheds light on the idea of our text. We are to serve. We are to love. We are to look out for the other guy. We are our brother's keeper, if you will. Now back in 1 Corinthians, Paul goes again to great lengths to tell them that it's not really about the meat. Eat what is sold in the meat market without raising any questions about it. If invited to dinner, eat what is set before you without asking any questions. Buying this meat that is sold in the marketplace is not the same as what he was speaking of previously as worshiping in a pagan sacrifice. There is no guilt by association here as we saw in that previous passage. But again, how are we seeking the good of our neighbor? In verse 26, Paul quotes Psalm 24, verse 1, when he says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." And that verse in Psalm 24, verse 1 goes on to say, "The world and all those who dwell in it." All belongs to God. He is sovereign. He is the focus. He is where we put our attention, worshiping and serving Him and serving others. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. 1 Timothy 4:4, "For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving." Now, we can't pull that verse in Timothy out of its context. There are things in our world that are harmful and things that are not. But in the context of 1 Corinthians, Paul says it's okay to eat the meat. Or if your brother's conscience bothers him in your presence, don't eat the meat. Not because the meat's bad in and of itself, but you love your brother enough to give it up for him. Do we love each other that much? Are we willing to sacrifice for our brother? Are we willing to sacrifice our time, talent, treasure for the good of others? Are we giving to God and to others what is due them as God's word commands us? Or do we just take? Do we just take? Are you willing to do what it takes to serve this body of Christ in which God has placed you? Are you willing to serve and to love in tangible ways to the best of your ability? It's not enough to just mouth the words. We must love in action and in truth. Love is shown by action. Now, if someone informs you that this meat was offered in sacrifice, then don't eat it for their conscience, not your conscience. You're choosing to serve them. This is for things that are indifferent. You can either choose to do them or not do them. True Christian liberty issues. My liberty, though, does not give me the freedom to disobey any direct commands of God. Christian liberty is never an excuse for me to sin. And it's never an excuse to cause my brother to stumble into sin by being unloving to him, unkind to him. Verse 31, Paul says, "So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God." This must constantly be in our minds as we think about how we can love others. Does this give glory to God or not? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to love Him forever. That is our goal in life, to give God glory, to seek to glorify Him in the living out of our lives, to enjoy God. How many times do we order our days thinking, does this give glory to God? In the things we do? In the ways that we earn money? In the ways we spend our money? In the way we spend time? In the things we watch? In the things we listen to? Everything, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. But Paul continues and says that we should also not only seek to give God glory. For I can give Him glory if I eat that meat or if I choose not to eat the meat, but I'm also to look out for others in that process. Paul writes in verses 32 and 33, "Give no offense to the Jews or the Greeks or to the church of God. just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. Do we live our lives in such a way that we are concerned about the salvation of others? That's why Paul said earlier that he has become all things to all men, so that he might, if possible, save some. Oh, that others would want to know the hope and the joy and the peace that we have found because of how we treat one another and serve one another and love one another, and how we also do that with the world around us. May we not be those who ever seek to get even, but instead those who are willing to suffer for the cause of Christ. May we not lift up the banner of selfishness or fight for my rights, but may we lift up and exalt the banner of Christ, the one who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's the model that we should follow. That's the standard that we should raise up. That is where we should focus our attention, and that's where Paul leaves us at the end of this section in chapter 11, verse 1, when he says, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. Looking to Jesus, as the author of Hebrews writes in chapter 12, the author and perfecter of our faith. In order to best seek the good of my neighbor, I need to keep my eyes on Christ. Too many times, my focus and my eyes become stuck on me instead of on Christ. We could say in our look at 1 Corinthians so far that the believers in Corinth have their eyes focused on the wrong things. They're looking to men to lead them instead of to Christ. We saw that very early on in the first couple of chapters. Some were saying, "I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow Cephas, some I follow Christ." They're looking also to the wisdom of the world instead of to Christ. They're resorting to jealousy and to strife instead of looking to Christ. They're building up the church on a faulty foundation. These are all things we've looked at, something other than Jesus Christ. They're looking at men as super apostles. The idea of Christian celebrities is nothing new. They're overlooking sin and allowing it to grow and to fester in the church, as we saw with sexual immorality in the church in Corinth. They're seeking to fight for their rights in the secular courts instead of suffering wrong. They're struggling in their marriages, not serving their spouses. They're discontent. They're anxious about many things. They're tempted to fall back into the sin which they have been saved from, even to the point of perhaps worshiping again at these false temples in the city of Corinth. They're not willing to give up their rights and service to one another. They're struggling with idolatry. In the next chapter, in chapter 11, we will see struggles with gluttony and drunkenness in place of the Lord's Supper. They're fighting over spiritual gifts. They are lacking in love. So Paul says, after giving them repeated examples in this letter over and over and over again, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." Imitate me. Now perhaps that sounds a little presumptuous to some. Follow me. But it's couched in an explanation. As I am of Christ. Paul sought to imitate Christ with his life. He sought to be Christ-like, and may that be the cry of our hearts as well, to lead by example and to serve by example and to point people to Christ. May we say, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." Don't imitate me in my sinfulness. Don't imitate me in my failings. Imitate me as I am of Christ, as I seek to follow Christ. May that be our desire and may that be our aim, to lift our eyes and the eyes of others to focus on Jesus Christ. to lift our eyes and the eyes of others that they may focus on Christ. And when our focus is on Christ and not upon self, then we will be able to seek the good of our neighbor and to serve him with the love of Christ. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. So whatever, Paul says, you eat or you drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. May we seek better ways to serve one another in the body of Christ as we seek to give all glory to God. Please join me in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you again for this letter. We thank you for these words of wisdom from Paul that teach us to avoid selfishness in our lives, that we may truly seek the good of others and not just our own good. That we may look for the good of our neighbor. That we may love God and love others. Help us. As our tendency so often is to be selfish, our tendency is to look out for ourselves. We hear that in our world. Our own sinful tendencies point us in that direction. Help us to focus our eyes, to focus our lives upon Christ, that we might be able to say, imitate me as I do of Christ, as I follow Christ. May we seek to follow him and to love him with our hearts, minds, soul, and strength. As we love you for all that you have done for us, we pray this in Jesus' name.